I firmly believe that we deserve, period.
I just feel like it's important to keep saying that out loud, that this is us learning in public.
The foundation of I Do Not Have Trash Politics is really just relationships, right?
So if you're not aware of how powerful you are, then how can you be using your power to bring others up?
We're giving you collective liberation. We're giving you personal healing. We're giving you millennial auntie with a mic.
You're listening to Seen, the podcast.
Stagnancy is often defined as the state or prolonged period of being without flow, without movement, without growth, in stillness, not moving here nor there. When people mention stagnant or when I hear that word, I oftentimes think of standing water. My mom is a nurse. And so she's always talked about, like, you know, standing water becomes sort of the breeding ground for mosquitoes. And so when we were kids, she'd always make sure after like rainy storms in summer to like turn over anything that would have collected water. And this idea that being still means something that's like unhealthy or dangerous or can put you or others at risk is really interesting to me. And so I want us to think about that, but also consider the ways that stagnancy in the context of transformative justice for self, because often in the pursuit of change, we can find ourselves plateauing, is not necessarily a bad thing. I want us to talk about that together today, that our internal change work sometimes comes to what we perceive as a standstill. And I want us to unpack that together. When we may have invested time and envisioned what our life should look like or next steps of healing or growth or change, and then nothing, or so we believe. And I think that we can't ignore the reality that both healing is nonlinear, as is change, that it's not just about the ebbs and flows, because those things are still about movement, moving forward, moving backward, that it's also about the stillness, the so-called nothingness, that this is also part of the change process and certainly part of the internal change process, where our focus is really to shift the conditions within ourselves that allow for or cultivate a space of harm or self-injury. So I'm hoping that we can talk about that with each other today. Stagnancy, the times that we've experienced it, how we've come to shake it or embrace it, and when that might be different. And then what our relationships are to change that create an appreciation of time and a resistance to urgency. So that's my little opening. Lala, how are you feeling in general? How are you feeling about this conversation?
I'm really looking forward to talking about this. I feel like this is something that a lot of people struggle with at various times. I know I have, and I think there can be a lot of shaming that happens, both other people shaming us, shaming ourselves. I think a lot of it comes from a sort of capitalist colonial mentality that it has to be all growth, all productivity, all the time, you know, that doesn't honor natural cycles and seasons and things like that. I know as a therapist, it's something that I see a lot of folks really struggling with and judging and shaming themselves for. And as a therapist, I'm in the position of very honestly holding the belief that just because you can't see something happening, it doesn't mean it's not happening. You know, that sometimes we do need periods of stillness, or there's periods where seeds have been planted and there's things happening underneath the soil that we can't see. And also, I think there are sometimes people or relationships or situations where we do get stuck, and there isn't necessarily something good happening. It isn't part of a cycle of growth. It is something where, you know, a person or a relationship or whatever, it stays stuck, and it is detrimental. And so I'd be really interested for us maybe to tease out what are the differences between those things, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that doesn't exist in that way. So anyways, very interested to see where this goes.
Awesome. Very glad to hear that. And thank you for opening up this conversation, because we can't talk about, well, I think we can't talk about stagnancy and the sort of internal change work without discussing judgment. And that constant question that I ask that I have asked myself, that I keep asking myself, if I'm being completely honest, is one of self-judgment. It's like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, what the fuck is happening? How is this happening? Like a lot of that line of questioning that comes from a place of both self-judgment and I think also embarrassment and this sense that nothing good is happening, that everything terrible is happening to me all at once, and that there's no place to go and that I'm stuck forever. And asking myself, like, what the fuck am I doing, has come up a lot of times in my consulting practice, where I've been afforded more time and more agency over my time than I've ever had, like literally ever, right? Where it's like, there's so much more space for me to sit in stillness. And then I've recognized as well, by way of like stagnancy becoming a judgment, that stagnancy is also almost like the watercolor paint that like bleeds into and spills into like all of the different corners of my life, so that when I'm feeling stalled or stuck in one place, that suddenly everything is going to shit. And like you said, this piece about judgment is interesting and also really makes sense, given the fact that we are living in a grind culture, in a hustle culture, that we are surviving and navigating through capitalism, where we need to work a lot, especially living in a place like we do, in a city like we do, to survive. And the judgment and shame of stopping, of standing still, and of realizing that things are at a standstill can be really overwhelming. In particular, for me, I felt when I'm comparing myself to other people, like when I'm feeling like I'm falling behind, or other people around me are getting somewhere sooner or in better shape than I am, or they're getting things, like there's something that's happening here and I'm stuck and these people are like moving forward. And so I wanted to know from you if that judgment piece, I know from a therapeutic standpoint, like being able to witness your clients and those you support in their own change processes and healing processes all the time, how judgment shows up for those folks. But does the judgment piece resonate for you on a personal level? I'm curious.
Absolutely. I definitely have had periods of time where I feel like, especially when I didn't know what I was doing with my career, I felt a lot of stagnancy because I felt stuck in a job that I hated and I didn't know how I was going to get out for a long time, for years. And so there was a sense of stagnancy and a sense of urgency and a lot of shame for not knowing how to break out of that. And it can come back. Like, it comes back in smaller ways. And I think it's interesting you were talking about how stagnancy in one area can affect other areas. I was thinking about how sometimes for me, there might be a lot of growth happening in one area of my life. Like, for example, in the last year, there's been a lot of energy for me in building a very significant relationship. And so then I think I've had less focus on my career than I'd had for the previous years before that. And then the shame can kind of creep up of like, well, what are you doing? What have you done lately in your career? And how are you growing that? Or how have you, you know, built something new or taken it to a new level lately? Or, you know, when I'm really focusing on my health, same thing. It's sort of like, okay, but, you know, what are you doing with your career? And it's like, how can we be expected to have every single area of our life constantly leveling up and growing and building? But yeah, I do feel that pressure. And I think There is, yeah, that comparison that you're talking about and that grind culture that you're talking about, that it feels like everybody's making big moves in every single way.
Girl.
And if you're not, then it feels like, well, what's wrong with me?
Totally. Man, it's so interesting. You just described like how when something is happening that's dope in your life, you're like, well, why aren't other parts of my life this dope? It's like, oh, we're never satisfied.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, we're like insatiable. It's pretty wild. And then also like I've noticed in myself that my stuckness sometimes in terms of like judgment or self-judgment in particular, I always seem to frame it as like, I'm stuck because I've made a wrong choice. Mm. So now here I am reaping the consequences of it all. It's almost like this punitive orientation to like stagnancy being a sign of failure, or like in order for me to be, you know, growing and like be like, for growth to be happening, it has to be like continuous at the same pace forever. And it's like keeping moving and staying in constant motion is to succeed at growth or something. And to your point, it's like how deeply terrible and how deeply unsustainable it is for us, right? It's like I've recognized for me that I'm more likely to look around and see what other people are doing as those people being successful and growing and like having all of the things that they want. And it's so much easier for me to be like, well, what's wrong with me? Like you said before, the self-judgment comes in and it's like, I've clearly chosen wrong. Maybe I should get like this other person. Like maybe I should be doing things in another way. So it can also almost call into question like your own choices and your own path. Like suddenly I'm becoming so discombobulated. and I found a lot of like personal pain and anguish in that being discombobulated, because it's so, I don't feel like I'm at like even on even ground. Like this idea of like plateauing almost means that we're like steady at least. But in my own stagnancy, I felt like I'm slipping, I'm falling, I'm slipping, I'm falling. I can't get up. Sorry, DMX line. But like, it just, it's so imbalanced. And yeah, I'm curious if that piece resonates with you. And also I wanted to know, in particular, you mentioned there have been times work-wise where you were like, what the fuck is happening with me? Like, I can't, you had told me before, like, that your 9-to-5 job, like, just wasn't working for you. And that was a moment in your life where you've experienced amounts of stagnancy. So, like, has stagnancy been the catalyst for change for you? Or has it been part of the actual change process? Or is it both?
Yeah, I don't know. It's so hard to say, because I think, looking back, and this is something that I often hold when I see clients who are really hard on themselves about feeling stuck. Looking back, I sort of think I would have been so much better off if I had been able to calm down and sort of let things unfold and not be so panicked about everything and not feel so ashamed that I didn't know yet, because I think sometimes we do need time to figure it out, and we are building experiences or we're building relationships that are going to lead to different opportunities, or there's other things that we're focusing on that will really help. Sometimes it seems like an unrelated change, you know, I'm working on, maybe building this relationship, or I'm working on this other aspect of my life. And then once that falls into place, other things just sort of come more easily. And we can't always see ahead to know what's happening. And so I think the more we can trust the process and sort of surrender and allow things to unfold a little bit more, I think we are better off, because I do think, again, there's natural cycles, there's natural seasons. Things can't be blooming all the time. Sometimes things do need to die. Sometimes there is this, the season of planting and then waiting. And it's so much more complicated. And also not everything is up to us as individuals. We're social creatures. There is so much more. There are so many more factors in our lives beyond our individual discipline. So I do think that things can't be blooming all the time, and we'd be better off to realize that. But of course, it can just be really scary when you don't know if anything's happening. And especially if you do have a lot of pressure around you, a lot of maybe friends or family members or just society in general sort of saying to you, well, you're not doing anything with your life, and therefore you haven't earned rest. You shouldn't ever have fun. You're going to be a failure. You're going to die poor and alone. You know, all of these messages that we get that really terrify us.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about stagnancy as almost like, I see it for myself as stagnancy shows me, or it's like an indicator, or it's like a sign for many different things potentially. And one of them being able to rest and or reset. I've realized, back to that piece around like, if I'm stagnant in one area, it becomes sort of the watercolor paint that like spills into everything else, like bleeds into everything else. And then there's this totalizing that I do where I'm like, everything is fucked up. Like I'm completely failing at everything. Even the pieces of my life, the areas of my life that are actually, I'm experiencing a lot of joy and a lot of like fullness and abundance in. I end up doing a lot of discounting of all of the work that I've done to get where I'm at, even if that place that I'm at is some place that I can't actually appreciate. For me, I'm like, the least that I can do for myself when I'm at this place of what feels like I'm not going here, I'm not going there, I'm just stuck, is catch my breath. Like catch my breath from all of the work that I've done to get here. And so something about stagnancy that I have as a question for myself and also for you is like, is it stagnancy or is it actually just like a moment of stillness or a moment of slowing down in which we can just catch our breath and like take it in and recognize like how far we've moved or how much we've grown or how much things have changed internal to ourselves that other people actually can't see. And maybe even we can't see very well. And I'm wondering if that like catching your breath piece resonates at all in particular, because your career has changed so much. Like your work life has changed when we first met, right? Like and both of us actually, but in particular, like the work that you were doing was so unsustainable for you that I'm wondering if this idea of stagnancy as rest or reset or catching your breath like resonates for you, your life, your body, like what you're, you know, finding you need here and now in the work that you are doing, which is incredibly taxing. Like it's not like it's less taxing than it was before. It's just different and it obviously aligns with your values and your gifts, but girl still needs to take a break, right? So yeah, how is that landing for you?
Absolutely. It really resonates. I think it's really true. And it reminds me of an article I read many years ago. I think when I was in that phase of being in these jobs that I hated and feeling really panicked about it. And it was about resilience and how a lot of people think of resilience as like you're down in the trenches and you're struggling through and crawling through the mud and you're so resilient that you just keep crawling through the mud no matter what is happening and no matter how exhausted you are and how hungry you are and everything, you just keep going. And they were saying, actually, no, that's not resilience. What actually makes you resilient is being able to rest and heal, and then you have the stamina to get through another trial. So it's like, you don't need to be crawling through the mud. If you have a chance to rest, you need to take it. And then you'll have more energy for the next thing. And I think that can be a really difficult message to internalize and to keep with us when there are so many messages from capitalism and from ableism and grind culture and all of these things. But I think what I am feeling is I've been quite burnt out in my career. The things I do in my career are things that I love and things that align with my values, but I'm still a human, a disabled human at that. Mm-hmm. But all of us have limits when it comes to energy and output and things like that. And if we're not taking time to rest and recharge, we are going to burn out, and then we're not going to have inspiration and creativity and all of the things that we need to do these new things that maybe we're craving. And so mm-hmm. I think that's something I've had to realize more recently, is that as much as there is this part of me that is always saying, well, you should be working harder, you should be doing this during, you know, why are you taking downtime right now? You should be doing X, Y, Z thing.
Girl.
I've had to realize, actually, if I want that creative spark to come back, if I want that like passion to come back, if I want to have these new ideas, if I want to grow in these ways in my career, I'm going to need to take some time to rest so that those parts of me can get back into that season when they're ready.
Dude, that so resonates. In December, I was planning on taking a month off for just rest, relaxation, honeymoon. And then I had it in my mind, like, I'm not going to take any calls, I'm not going to take any meetings, but I'm going to do, you know, some family stuff, go on a honeymoon, and then be able to have time to like be creative and like plan ahead for the work that I want to do in 2023. And went on the honeymoon, did the family thing, came back home mid-December and was like, I'm so exhausted. I'm still so exhausted. I need to catch mm-hmm. my breath from all of the work that I've been doing for the, you know, the 11 other months that came before December. And January rolled around and I felt so self-conscious, like, bitch, what the fuck are we doing this year? Like, you know, one, completely ignoring all the work that I'd done the previous year to set the framework and the foundation for what I was going to be doing in this current year. So it's like mm-hmm. that totalizing thing was happening. And two, to the point you just made, it's like, I clearly needed to rest. Like, I really needed a deep rest. And something else that was coming up for me when you were talking about being able to take that, you know, time to rest and reset, if only to be able to come back to like pour our energy into the things that we deeply, truly want by way of our lives transforming and changing, is that stagnancy, or like this idea of like stillness and stopping, can be both, yes, a time for rest and resetting, but also in that rest and resetting is an opportunity for us to think about how we need to be trying things differently. Like, what is working, right? Like, I couldn't have had that realization of what isn't working for me if I didn't take the month off, which I recognize is a big privilege, but being able to take the month off, I was like, yo, I need to be doing less of this kind of service and more of this kind of thing. How things were or weren't working was not going to just like come out of nowhere, because I was in like go, 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 go mode. I wasn't able to actually receive any of the information, quite frankly, that my body was sending me or telling me about like what I needed to chill out about, or like, how come I'm becoming so dysregulated when I do this type of work? Or how come, you know, why is it that I feel so much more rejuvenated and I can come back to work so much more quickly, have more resilience when I'm doing this type of work, mm-hmm. right? Like, I could only come to those realizations in the stillness or the stagnancy. And it was like not a whole state of several months on end of just nothingness. It was like, you know, a few weeks where I was sitting there being like, I have no idea what's coming next. I have no idea like what I'm, and I feel a lot of self-consciousness about being a person that doesn't have like a plan, like what's happening next. And so, yeah, I think that there's something really powerful about how are we taking cues in the stillness to consider what do we need to be doing differently, or like what's not actually working for us, that hopping right back into the pocket of doing all the things we did previously might not actually get us where we want to go, as, you know, not even as quickly as we want to, but like in a condition that is still like keeping our, you know, our wellness, our wholeness, like intact. And sometimes it's like the stillness allows us to recognize like, oh, I'm actually worse for wear than I thought I was. Like, I need to be thinking about how I'm moving in this world, in this work, in this space differently in order for me to take care of myself better.
Totally. And yeah, a month off is a privilege, but if you had been able to take several months off, maybe that would have been even better in terms of being able to get that reset. And if you can't take a month off, maybe even closing your eyes and lying on the couch in silence for 20 minutes might be really nice and might kind of help to receive some messages that you wouldn't get if you didn't take just 20 minutes or 5 minutes to just be in the silence. Like, I think there are so many different modes and ways of being and so many different parts of cycles that we so often do not get to experience because we live in this culture that only honors certain parts of our rhythms. And there's so many ways that I think we get distracted by, you know, even having like screens and having electrical lights and things that distract us from the natural rhythms of the earth, right? When is it darker outside and when is it not? Things like that. I think we really lose sight of the fact that there are so many different ways of being that are equally important. They're just not all as glamorous and not all as celebrated.
When you were experiencing a deep bout of stagnancy prior to working in your profession that you are in right now, when you knew that like a 9 to 5 job was not going to cut it for you, and especially as well, like the service industry that you were in was so taxing, is so taxing on people. I wonder if you can share, and you mentioned it already, some of like the signs or indicators that you were like feeling like stuck or stagnant or like this is not working for me. I think you mentioned like you felt like anxiousness and other things. Can you share some manifestations of what like stagnancy can be like for folks?
Yeah, I think there can just be a deep state of internal tension because you're forcing something or being forced to be in something that isn't working for you. And so there's parts of you that are fighting against it, even as there's other parts of you that are having to go along with it. So I think that deep tension or anxiety can be a big part of it. I mean, I'm thinking about even in relationships too, like think about couples who really should have broken up and
a long time ago
and are staying together and just the bickering, right? It's like this tension that just exists because it's like there's a movement that should be happening that isn't happening.
It's like when you've ignored the movement that needs to happen and you've just kind of settled into
And I think it's interesting to maybe tease out, because I think it's not always clear, when is it that the tension and the anxiety is coming from what I just said, where there is maybe a natural movement that's wanting to happen that you're fighting against, or for whatever reason you aren't able to flow with, versus there's something you're not happy with where you are and there is a bit of a state of like tension, but maybe it's not time to move yet. Maybe it's not clear where that movement is going yet. And there's a lot of like shame that's happening because of that. I think it's not always clear where is the distress coming from. Is the distress really coming from, I need to be somewhere other than where I am right now and I can feel that? Or is the distress coming from like, there's a movement on the horizon and the fact that I don't know what it is yet is something I'm judging myself for. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it really does. And I also think of like, is the distress coming from the place of like, I don't know what to do about the feelings that I'm feeling? Or is it coming from a place of I've lost some sense of motivation or momentum and I'm feeling like there's this inertia almost where it's like we've been going and then I'm like at the standstill? Is the distress coming because actually what's happened is our vision of what we want has changed, or our internal compass, like our values have shifted and things aren't actually working. The actions that we're taking, the ways, our modus operandi of like how we do things isn't actually aligning with like the things that we know to be true. Our beliefs have shifted. Is a stagnancy manifesting as distress because we feel like lost? Like there's just, you know, endless options and we're kind of like unclear, unsure. So yeah, that definitely resonates with me.
Yeah. And I think this is a place where it's so important to remember self-compassion and to practice self-compassion, because I think it's important to know that distress doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing something wrong.
Girl.
So you may feel discomfort, or you may feel some type of pain, or you may feel like something's not quite right, or you're like itching for change, and that can be an uncomfortable feeling and there can be some distress in that, but that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. And I think the more we can have practices to help soothe ourselves and take care of ourselves when we're feeling something uncomfortable, and the more we're able to practice self-compassion so we don't judge ourselves for feeling pain or feeling distress, then the more that we can just listen to it, you know, because sometimes I think we need to feel that distress and we need to notice, okay, there's a tension here. This isn't quite working for me, but it'll take time to really play that out, to really listen and to really explore why is this happening and what might feel better and how might I get there. And sometimes it's like you just need to be in that and be a student of that situation before eventually the opportunity is going to arise and you're going to, the path forward is going to become more clear.
Thank you so much for that reminder of like self-compassion. And I love that idea also of being a student of that, trying to find the lesson in what is happening. And I think of metamorphosis and animals and like how metamorphosis in animals is a really dramatic transformation. Like it's not a gentle like, ooh, and now the tadpole has legs. Like it's like, things are happening quite wildly. Like, you know, an animal that could not exist in open air and could only swim is now able to like live life on land. That's a huge thing that is happening for that animal, right? And I almost want to suggest that sometimes we're hoping for like metamorphosis level changes within ourselves in like a moment's notice. And because of that, we get really discouraged when the change isn't happening at all, with air quotes around that, or we start to believe that things will never come to fruition. And I think that if this resonates for any of us, like if we're getting stuck in that, then re-examining what it is that we're expecting of ourselves and having that self-compassion, I think is really important and valuable. Because the thing about stagnancy is that it almost gives the impression that what we see at the surface level is all that's happening, that there's like no internal changes that are happening, but there's always so much more that's like underneath the surface. And I know for myself, one of the biggest indicators that actually change is happening is that my thinking, my thought processes change, right? Like the way that I am able to go from honoring an emotion and a feeling as a piece of information and do some deeper like investigative work and try to figure out like what's going on for me, and also like perhaps what might this be linked to? Like, I don't just feel feelings for absolutely no reason. Oftentimes they're linked to things that have happened or are happening. So like, let me kind of be more curious. So like the quality of my thinking changing is sort of the sub, like the underneath and the non-surface level things that like you might not be able to, you Lala, like as my friend might not be able to like see like, oh, the way that Nick's thinking has changed, right? Or like my attitudes or like my beliefs or my values, right? Like I want us to be able to honor those. And I don't even think that those are like little changes. I actually think that those are metamorphosis level transformations for our mindsets to be able to create an expansiveness where we're able to honor our feelings, recognize that we have some control over the paths ahead of us, take action in the ways that we can, and then recognize that like I have to be able to be compassionate to myself if things don't work out. Like that's a huge transformation. That's not like small potatoes. And I think so it's so easy for us to discount that or minimize that or question well, whatever, that's cool, but like, I'm not doing that shit that somebody else is doing. But we don't know what kinds of internal, you know, like, we don't know what's happening for that person out there, what kinds of internal transformations they're wading through, or what's going on for them, right? So it's like focusing on ourselves, I think, in a compassionate way is so important.
Yeah. And I think that again highlights that there are really important aspects of our experiences that don't translate to social media, that, you know, we can't like announce in the group chat or whatever. And I think,
yeah,
there is a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure to be accomplishing things that you can post on like Instagram, or that people can see, or that you can add to your LinkedIn or whatever, that, right. That like,
yes.
That creates, you know, the image or the avatar that you're wanting, or that you feel pressured to perform in this age of being connected in these ways.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there are really huge aspects of our experience that we're not going to be able to post in that way. And how do we maybe refocus on valuing those things more than we value the algorithm? I don't mean to feel like I'm like a million years old, that I'm like, oh, kids today and their social media, but I honestly, like, I yeah. feel that pressure. I think a lot of us do feel that pressure, yeah. of look at what everybody else is doing.
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. you know, if I don't have a way to show myself or like quantify or portray my life in that way, then I look like a failure and everyone thinks I'm a failure and all of that. There is so much pressure.
There's so much pressure. And okay, I'm going to say something that feels scary, but our brand is Learning in Public. And so I'm hoping that you can be a thought partner in this. I think that oftentimes when I've blamed myself for not being where I wanted to be or think that I should be, or how I perceive other people to be like further along the whatever compared to me, I'm actually like both overly accountable for things that are actually outside of my control and completely non-accountable for things that are within my own control. what I mean by that is like kind of going back to that previous piece of, am I actually taking stock of like what it is, how I am, things I'm doing that's not working for me, that's not serving me? And am I spending my time and attention trying to find new ways of being or thinking or doing, rather than, well, this person has this thing and I want this thing and I want to be able to like demonstrate it on social media, be there sort of like on the gram with a post that resonates with all the work that I hope that I've been doing over time. And I kind of feel like that self-accountability piece for me means being honest with myself about like, are my tactics still working? Are our tactics for change still working? And I've oftentimes felt in like our social justice work, our world changing, world transformation work, where we're really examining systems of oppression and we're trying to challenge them and we're surviving them. And because of the urgency of the pain and the suffering, our expectations of ourselves and each other is that we like never stop moving, like movement work, like it's like continues to go. We never stop agitating. And I wonder how this coupled with like the sense of urgency of white supremacy culture and capitalism actually makes us less primed to appreciate like when we need to be like, is this working? Like, is this way of agitating still working out external to ourselves and also internal to ourselves? Is this way of moving still working? Is this way of me doing this work still relevant? Is it not hitting the way it needs to be hitting? You know what I mean? And like, that's where the actual accountability lies. But where it doesn't is like me blaming myself for things that are beyond my control, or me comparing myself to people's accolades or things that they've accomplished that I have no idea what their path was. But it's like, what I can see is this thing and I want this thing. I want that for myself. So yeah, I'm curious if that resonates for you at all, like this notion of like, what does accountability in stagnancy actually mean in a helpful way? And then where is it actually not as helpful. And it's more about trying to keep up with the urgency and like the frenetic nature of just surviving white supremacist capitalist patriarchy.
Yeah, that's a really, really tough one. I think that is one of the biggest struggles with this whole topic. And I guess for me, a big part of it is being aware of what exactly we're expecting of ourselves and having a really holistic view of what we're doing and what we are needing and going from there with self-compassion. So for example, if everything that we're focused on around, you know, what are we accountable to is about producing and doing, I think we've fallen into capitalism. We've fallen into white supremacy and colonialism. I think we need to be paying attention to, am I feeding myself? Am I sleeping? Am I resting? Am I finding moments of joy? Things like that as well. And I think if we are able to look at that, and again, with self-compassion, knowing that not all these things always feel available to us, I think we have a much better shot at being accountable in a way that helps, because we are attending to all of the different parts of the process. Because if all we're attending to in terms of our accountability is, am I doing, am I producing?
Yeah.
I think, again, that's very capitalist, ableist, white supremacist, all of those things. And we're very likely to be burning ourselves out. But if it's like, okay, am I resting? Am I eating? Am I spending time with my loved ones? Am I finding times to laugh? And also, am I, you know, engaging in work in the ways that I can? If we're paying attention to all of those things, I think we're a lot more likely to be supporting all of the aspects of the cycle, because maybe right now it isn't time to put the next thing out, right? Maybe right now it is time to catch my breath. And if I'm paying attention to, am I getting enough rest, and I can tune into, well, I'm absolutely exhausted all day, every day.
Yeah.
Then maybe we're going to realize like it isn't time right now to put the next thing out. And if I try to put the next thing out, I'm probably actually not going to do it justice. I'm not going to be able to like bring what I need to bring to it, because I'm coming at it from this place of burnout.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really not going to be a place where I'm actually able to attend to it with the care it deserves.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that resonate with you?
Oh yeah. No, it does. I was actually imagining when you were describing like, am I sleeping? Am I resting? I'm doing this like gathering, like hand gesture. And it reminds me of like, I love getting flowers, but I love flowers. I love bouquets of flowers that have like multiple flowers in them, not like a bouquet of roses or a bouquet of carnations. Also, no one likes bouquets of carnations, let's be real, right? But like what makes a beautiful bouquet is like a little bit of like some chrysanthemum, some like leafy greens, some like some foliage, some baby's breath, like some lilies, like opened and unopened, like things that are ripe and ready and things that are actually going to take a bit more time to blossom and open into. And it's like, I love the idea of being more clear about what it is we're expecting of ourselves. Like, what is it that we're trying to offer? Is it just about producing? Is it just about, is that bouquet just like, I'm not meaning to knock people who do anything in particular, but like, is it just about getting X amount of eyes on this work that I do? Is that what it is? Right. Like, like then that's, I think that's the bouquet of carnations. If I will, you know, if using that analogy, it's like, how are we thinking about like a little bit of baby's breath could mean that we're taking the time to rest and just catch our breath. And then like the rose is like, you know, it's a bit prickly. So it's like, here are the parts of me that are actually still in process and kind of a little bit like, you know, painful for myself and for others to be around. And here are some, here's an open peace lily that's just like so gorgeous and exquisite, and here's like the one thing that I think I do really, really well. But all of it comes together and is like a bouquet that's beautiful in its entirety. It's not like one thing needs to be, back to the point you made before, like all levels of our life have to be at the same place, or, you know, there's like perfection runs through so much of this conversation. Having exorbitantly high expectations for ourselves to be perfect, I think, runs through this conversation of challenging stagnancy. And that kind of leads me into the last portion of our conversation. I'm curious if you have any practices or ways that have helped shake you from stagnancy or to keep you going or to even appreciate what that stagnant or that stillness can offer you as a lesson, you being a student of that stillness. But I'm curious to hear from you.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is presence, because I think it is very easy to be distracted, to be on screens a lot, to just be busy a lot. And like you said, to not always give ourselves the time to hear what our bodies are telling us or what our lives are telling us.
Yeah.
And so I think finding ways to shut off the screens for even 5 minutes would be great. Like whatever feels accessible, it can really help to focus on what we're experiencing right now and what this right now is asking of us. And it might be that stillness, and it might be appreciating that stillness and just resting and taking a nap, or it might be that there is something else that's of interest to us that we're needing to attend to, but it can get drowned out by all the busyness. And so I think that is a really huge thing. Another thing that actually comes to my mind is astrology, because astrology is so focused on cycles and rhythms.
Yeah.
It's just one tool. There's so many others.
Tarot is also, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one. But with astrology, for example, if you're following what's happening astrologically day to day and you get like the moon cycle and all these other cycles that are constantly happening, it can be really helpful in allowing us to really attend to and pay attention to the different seasons and the different parts of the cycle and all of the different sort of flavors of where we might be in a given moment.
I love that, because, and the reason that I interjected with tarot is because with tarot, it's like there are these archetypes or these stories of like what's happening in this image means that we can take a pause or a moment to like reflect on what's, you know, how does this resonate for me? What might be some of the lessons for us to take? And then with astrology, when we're talking about retrogrades or things moving in a particular direction, it's like there's something that's happening that allows us to pause, like take stock, appreciate, and maybe examine things we've done in the past before we move forward. And so I love that. I really appreciate you mentioning astrology. I thought about that and then it completely escaped my mind. And so, and I think that's been such a big gift for me to appreciate and almost connect me to nature, like, or literally connect me to what's happening in nature or in sort of like the heavenly celestial bodies, right? It's like there are things that are beyond our control that are like moving and stopping and passing each other and coming back and and trining and being, you know, in closer relationship and going far, far, far away. And all of this stuff can really help contextualize like where we are at internally as well. For me, when I have experienced stagnancy is something that's like a challenge that can feel really anxious, make me feel really anxious. And I'm like, where I'm stuck, I don't really know what to do or how to keep going, or I'm feeling completely out of that inspiration or that spark that I need to continue to go forward. I found it really helpful and encouraging to spend time with others who are either doing similar things that I do or doing things that are completely different, going and witnessing somebody who is a master of their craft separately from what I do, do their thing, being able to go and appreciate, if you can have access to art spaces, what beautiful art is, whatever that means to you. I think for me, that's been really helpful. And that's, it also has meant like just going into nature and being able to appreciate like natural beauty helps reignite my own passion of my craft, right? And helps me think of like, as often as I come on this podcast and I'm like, I went to this art gallery and I saw these things and these animals are making these gestures and it made me think of, right? It's like some of these other inspirations that are available to us and around us, but oftentimes it's hard for us to make the connections as to why they're relevant in our lives. And I found that to be really really, really helpful.
Yeah, that reminds me of The Artist's Way. I don't know if you're familiar
yes,
with that book.
Yes, I started reading that book. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a program. It's a very popular program for blocked creatives. And really everybody is creative. We all have creativity within us. And you don't have to be a professional artist or a particular type of artist to be creative. But people who are feeling blocked in that way, the program is, there's also writing exercises and things like questions and various things you can read. But the main building blocks of the program are every morning writing freehand, free association, just 3 pages.
Yeah.
And that's just to sort of get things moving a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's like weekly, you take yourself on artist dates, which is just anything that sparks inspiration or joy for you. And it's to really allow yourself again to just get inspired again, to like take things in. It's not all about
totally
output. You also need to take things in and
totally
just those elements of both getting things moving without any sort of attachment to what does that look like or what's the product that's coming out.
Yeah.
And allowing yourself to be inspired and be in a different state. Like, it's not all about producing an output. Again, I think that really gives support to there being different parts of the cycle that are also important.
One way of trying to shake myself out of stagnancy is literally engaging in some form of movement, whatever that means for me. Like, if I can go for a walk, if I can, even like pacing in my apartment, like literally just going, like, I'm just going to go stand in a part of my apartment that I have, you know, like, I'm going to exist in my apartment, like move through the space. I'm going to go do a class if I can, or like go, you know, whatever it might be, is
just stretch,
right? Like, our mind bodies, like, people talk about mind bodies, like there's a connection that's happening here, right? Yeah. So it's like, how can we recognize that our bodies have limits, as do our minds? And so sometimes what we need to do is take ourselves on a little walk or whatever it might be. And then I want to say, remembering that stagnancy isn't failure. Mm-hmm. Plateauing in our growth or in our healing or our change work isn't failing. You said it this so beautifully before, but like, there's a difference between a garden being like dead and seeds that we've planted have not like sprouted yet. And they just need some water and some sunshine and like a fuck pile of time. Finding wherever we can more gentle hands to hold ourselves actually does ourselves more of a service than a disservice. And I think in a culture, once again, of like grind culture and like hustle culture and like toughen up culture, we are the first on the chopping block to hold ourselves with gentle hands. Like, we just don't do that as often. And so, yeah, if I was going to leave us with like that, it would be that plateauing is not failure. Stillness is not failure. Slowing down is not failure. And also, like, what is failure? Like, what does that really mean to us? And getting a bit more curious about even our ideas on failure, I think, can be helpful in at least illuminating the path forward, that actually, if I go and choose this, and what that choice results in might involve stillness or stopping, that that's still part of the path. I didn't take a detour. I'm here. And there's still so much value in being on this path.
That's beautiful. Thank you.